Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Dave Thomas, Ray Kroc, the founder, Joey Devine, Carl Karcher, Phil Romano, Al Copeland, Sean Keen, Harlan David Sanders, Ed Hackbarth, and David Jameson. Special guest, Nick Weiger. Patreons, Alex Noble. Thank you, Alex. Dan Matthews. Thank you, Dan. Ben Holt. Gracias, Benjamin. Musical guest, back tonight. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And we are back with a brand new, very special food-centric episode. I'm here, as always, with my friend, my co-host, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Doing good.
Before we get to our jam-packed episode, I just want to say thank you for everyone who's bought t-shirts at our t-shirt store, which is available at the link in the description. It's not just t-shirts. There's also hoodies, masks. You can get a slammed-up notebook, tote bags, all kinds of stuff. That's available at TeePublic, or more importantly, in the link in the description of the podcast. Also, thank you to all of our Patreons. We had a great Patreon episode with our friend Corbin A. Smith this week. We're reading Furious George, George Carl's book, where he's a huge asshole every 17 seconds. And we put that up on Patreon this week. That's patreon.com/roundrockpod. Follow us on Twitter at roundrockpod. Mm-hmm. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com.
That's right.
Call us on the phone at the number in the episode description. And five-star reviews on iTunes. We've been getting them, Sean.
Yeah,
getting some new five-star reviews. And that is a way that apparently helps the show. No one has ever explained to us how it helps, but every podcast I've ever listened to is like, trust us, it helps.
It does help. It helps us a lot. We'll find out how someday.
It's also very strange that it only lets you give five-star reviews on iTunes, but them's the breaks, fam.
Yeah, that's the rules. You can't fight them. You can't fight them. They're too powerful.
Sean, we've got a very special guest today from one of America's favorite podcasts, I would say.
I agree.
Doughboys, Nick Weiger is here, and we're going to go in depth on the restaurants that the NBA players are allowed to order delivery from in the Orlando bubble. But before we do that, should we get to some news real quick?
Let's do a little bit of news, right. Yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, walk us through what's going on with Dwight Howard. He's the news.
All right. So Dwight Howard is the news. He has been, I would say Dwight has been on one in the bubble. Maybe it's like going back to the city of Orlando is bringing back old Dwight. The whole deal this year was that, like, he didn't even have a guaranteed contract going into the season. He, like, sat down with the team, and the team's like, you got to stop messing around, Dwight. And he's been really good this year. He's been a really good defensive player, very useful off the bench, you know, sixth or seventh man in the rotation. But somehow getting to Orlando has just made him – it's the combination of, like – and it what's weird is right before they got to the bubble – people were saying, is Dwight Howard actually thoughtful? He was talking about hesitations about quarantine and the Black Lives Matter movement. And then he got to Orlando and he just started Instagram living all the time. He was the one person who went to the DJ show and ordered a giant drink. But
he
also
refuses
now,
to, more importantly, he's refusing to wear a COVID mask.
Yes, yeah, that is the next thing. He won't wear a mask. He said that someone told on him for not wearing a mask around the bubble. Clearly, he was recommended. It also may have been that he was going on Instagram Live and walking around without wearing a mask. Constantly streaming himself maskless. He told on him. Yeah. He told on him.
He also said he doesn't believe in vaccines.
Yes, I wanted to give you the mask quotes first.
Okay, let's go with the mask quotes. You know what? I actually have an Instagram Live. I pulled his Instagram Live from some of these mask quotes. So here's that.
Guess who it is? The governor. I'm a fan of Dwight, but he's scared, so he calls me sir. But he's groovy, and I want to ask him to be in a movie. We'll make a dream team. And like back in the day, I'll even yell, get down.
You can't touch this.
I'll be back.
Sean, I have a confession to make.
What's that?
Those were not the mask quotes. That was him doing Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stan Van Gundy on his album.
Man. I couldn't believe that. Wow.
So okay. Why don't you read us your mask quotes?
So he said, I didn't know that the coronavirus be flying through the air looking for people. Just a very tenuous grasp of like viruses and immunology there.
Yeah.
He also said, I don't see a risk of us getting the virus during the time period we're here. Except for the people that are getting the coronavirus while they're there.
Well, that hasn't happened yet, right? Didn't they say no one's gotten it in the bubble yet?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Be hopeful, Dwight. And then he said he does not believe in vaccines. His quote is, I don't believe in vaccines myself. Will vaccines work for some people? They may or they may not. But for me, I don't believe in them, and that is my opinion, and I'm going to stick with that. So I assume Dwight was vaccinated as a child.
We should also point out that he follows several QAnon accounts on Instagram.
Oh, yes, that was very big. Yeah, he's following QAnon accounts. So it seems like Dwight was very briefly actually woke and then immediately just got into the world of conspiracy theories. So he's an anti-vaxxer and a QAnon guy, which to me says Donald Trump is going to be reading a letter two nights before the election from Dwight Howard. That's like, people are being very unfair to you, sir.
He's going to go to the White House when they win. He's the only one who will go.
He's the only Laker that will be at the White House celebrating this victory. Yeah, that's gonna be it.
My question, though, Sean, is, does this actually matter? I mean, obviously it matters because Dwight's a dumbass and, you know, he's perpetuating, bullshit that shouldn't be going around, and that's not important, but for the Lakers, does this actually matter?
No. I don't really think it does. Like,
I mean, if anything, it's just gonna make LeBron hate Dwight more.
Yeah, like, and also, I would say that as good as he's been, they don't really need him.
Yeah. I mean he's probably their fourth best player, right?
Maybe, but it's like, I just feel like, is he ever going to play in crunch time? No, right?
I don't know what any of this is going to look like. The Nuggets played five centers today, dude. So yeah. He would play in that situation, right?
I guess so. I mean, I would just think that they
somebody's got to guard small forward Bol Bol.
That is true. That's a good point. I don't really think Alex Caruso is up for that task. But like, you know what I mean? Like you can play LeBron at center. You can play JaVale at center.
Yeah.
You probably should be playing Anthony Davis at center. In things, you also have, you know, 6'8 Kyle Kuzma and Markieff Morris is also really big.
Here's a hot take, so though. It's like, Dwight's better than Kyle Kuzma.
I mean, maybe. I just like it's not that much of a problem figuring out how to replace his 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't Kyle Kuzma. I agree with you about Kyle Kuzma. But the Lakers need someone who can dribble and initiate the offense much more than they need kind of a luxury backup center.
Sure. All right. Well, that's the news. Sean, should we get to our talk with Doughboy's Nick Weiger about Tillman Fertitta's scam he's running and about what restaurants the players can order outside of the bubble?
Yeah, let's bring on Burger Boy.
Yeah. We're here with America's favorite doughboy, and don't tell Mitch I said that, and a Laker fan, Nick Weiger. You might know him from, of course, the Doughboys podcast, the video game podcast, How Did This Get Played? He's written for Comedy Bang Bang and TSF, SDSUV, The Onion News Network, I Love You, America, and, of course, the comedy game show At Midnight, which has provided me and Sean's friends and family with so many free t-shirts over the years. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm surprised to learn about these free t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh,
I should have gotten one of those.
Yeah, they I would go and do like days on the show a lot, just writing with guests, and anyone who had been on the show again in the gift bag got a t-shirt, and often those were delivered to me.
Yeah, same.
Like, hey, thanks for coming by. Here's an At Midnight t-shirt. And so I think my whole family has them right now.
Pretty sweet.
So Nick, before we get into what we wanted to talk with you about today, let's talk about the Lakers. You're a massive Laker fan, right?
Yes.
How long have you been a Laker fan, first off?
Well, so I was a fan since I had Lakers stuff in my room as a kid, and I don't even know how it got in there. It was just like, I always remember it being in there. So I was born in 1980. So like, you know, my youth was during the Showtime days. Loved Magic Johnson, fond of Kareem, later developed it. Now Kareem is my favorite Laker, but yeah, I grew up in Southern California. So I've kind of been following the Lakers my whole life to varying degrees. Certainly had times when I was more into it than others, but I've been following the team, like, you know, pretty steadily since the 1990s, and was aware of it and a fan in the little kid sense during the 80s as well, during the Showtime run.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Sean and I are both Warrior fans, so
wow.
we both grew up Warrior fans, so we have basically the opposite story, where it's like, yeah, we right. really had to try and work to be fans of this team.
And we're kind of inherently broken too, because right. even the Warriors would be in the NBA finals and Joey and I would still be texting each other with like, you know, I think this guy might be available with the number 29 pick. isn't the draft the actual finals? Isn't that what you celebrated, Jude?
Yeah, I mean the Warriors just, you know, had some fun teams, but no teams that were real contenders until the 2010s. And yeah, you're right that the Lakers arc is over that period of time is quite the opposite. Really had it's only doormat phase was really in the 2010s. I mean, had some leaner stretches in the 90s, but were still competitive. And it wasn't that long of a hiatus in between, you know, the NBA Finals appearance against Michael Jordan and then the Shaq Kobe era.
Yeah, right, no, right, yeah. The Lakers' best player never choked Del Harris.
Well, and even
though Del Harris did coach the Lakers, and yeah, I can be a little sympathetic towards Sprewell at times. Oh wait, it was PJ Carlissimo, right?
Yeah, he choked PJ Carlissimo. Yeah. I was just thinking, because Carlissimo was, and Del Harris, it's kind of like following up Don Nelson, you know, like, like a beloved fun guy versus like kind of a weirdo taskmaster assistant. So my first question for you, though, is are the Lakers going to win it all in the weird coronavirus terrifying bubble that we're all about to watch? Bubble ball. Are they going to win bubble ball?
I think two Warriors fans would perhaps be, conscious of the fear of jinxing it. So I don't want it to be declarative and say like, yeah, the Lakers are going to take it. But I think they're in good shape because it's such a weird circumstance. I mean, yes, the one seed is much less of an advantage than it would be under traditional, home court, away court rules versus this weird scenario we've got now where everyone's cloistered but playing on the same courts. But I think that just because the team is, you know, a good team and has has superstars and also specifically LeBron, who has so much finals experience, more finals experience than I guess maybe any player since Bill Russell. It is, I think that the Lakers are well positioned to be right there. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously I think the main thing, and this is a lot of people's observation, is that it feels like anyone could win this thing because it's just so weird, right? It feels like the Siakam Nick Nurse Raptors could just sort of be like, hey, we're gonna take this thing, and everyone would be like, all right, sure, and no one would be like shocked by that outcome.
I wouldn't be surprised if the 76ers got swept out of the first round of the playoffs, and I also wouldn't be surprised if they went to the finals. You know,
right.
Like it feels like the variance is so high, and there's almost stuff that we wouldn't even be able to know about affecting things, you know?
Right.
Just like, oh, this guy hasn't actually been able to, has only had 70% lung capacity this whole time.
Right. Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows? It's so bizarre. It's such a weird set of circumstances.
If I were a Lakers fan, I would be truly annoyed that I don't get about the Clippers now having a negative, like negating your big home court advantage against the Clippers, unfortunately, where it's like even Clippers home games in the playoffs would have been Lakers home games if they played each other.
We'd all season been dreaming of that 7-game series in Staples Center, and you know, if that was that ended up being the Western Conference Finals, I think that would have been amazing, just as a spectacle. And yes, you're right that obviously, you know, the there are just so many more Lakers fans in LA than Clippers fans that it would just be, you know.
Yeah, there aren't 30,000 Billy Crystals. It's just Billy Crystal. Right. That's one Clippers fan.
Frankie Muniz won't come to LA anymore.
I mean, it's, you know, for everything that people, there's been like this kind of like blue collar, hard hat description towards the Clippers org, and that's been expanded to its fan base, but it's honestly not true. It's the Clipper fan base is is expats from other cities who moved to LA.
Yeah, it's people right who came to LA in their 20s.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah,
like Matt Walsh is a signature like Clipper adopter.
Yeah, it's,
you know, like
it's
that level of celebrity, but also that same background of like, well, I'm not in my home, so.
Right. My favorite team is still the Celtics, but I have my LA favorite team is the Clippers. Like, that's the Clippers fan base. I think it's actually more likely to be a richer, more elite fan base than the Laker fan base, which is, you know, a lot of working class people who have lived their entire lives in Southern California. So uh-huh. I think also that's just a larger base of people. So they're just more Laker fans here. It would have really been a sight to see. I guess I'm like, yeah, it's a bummer that it more so than the absence of the true home court advantage. It's just that I'm like, it's just that it would have been amazing to see. It just would have been amazing to see like these two elite teams playing in the same building for a trip to the NBA finals.
On the current list of bummers in the world right now, it's pretty low, I gotta say. So my first, let's talk a little bit more. Another question I have for you is, are you worried about the absence of Rajon Rondo? And did he really hurt his hand, or is it just impossible to play Connect Four in a socially distanced manner?
So Rondo is, you know, I think I think he's always been a frustrating player, but an amazing, just an amazingly unique player and fascinating to watch, but oftentimes frustrating to the fans of the teams he's on. And he, you know, he's been, I think, for the most part, a positive to the team. I guess my concern with losing Rondo is also that Avery Bradley's not playing. Mm-hmm. So the team, those are two guys who are, you know, playing, who are in the rotation as guards, who are just not going to be there. So that may have to lean more on Hope JR or Deion Waiters, or, you know, maybe Talen Horton-Tucker emerges way ahead of schedule. Like, you kind of have to hope for something from some other guards that you didn't get in the regular season. So, it doesn't help, I think, for Rondo not to be there. It's not an addition by subtraction thing, whatever his net plus minus is. Because the other thing is, it's playoff Rondo. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different animal.
Well, I do have some good news on that end. Deion Waiters is a lot more fun than Rajon Rondo. Because, you know, what has Deion Waiters done? Taken too many weed gummies? He's never outed a closeted gay man, so at least you now get to root for Deion Waiters.
Agent of chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, Waiters is I like Waiters as a figure, and he is a fun player. I have had that thing. I had a panic attack from taking an edible that was too strong, that was more potent than I expected, and it was a terrifying experience.
I can't imagine being trapped on a plane from Phoenix to Los Angeles. That's the thing. My favorite thing about that is it was only like a 35-minute flight.
Right.
Where he did it.
But it probably felt like it was 5 hours for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I already get anxious when I'm like trapped in some place, and planes can absolutely be, you know, a thing that triggers that. And I wonder if Waiters has a similar thing, if he's just like very anxious about flying, took something to mute his anxiety and ended up exacerbating it. I mean, if so, that's just got to be a complete nightmare.
What I will say about everything I know about Deion Waiters is that he's not anxious about anything. So I don't know.
He's I do kind of feel like he's the most relatable NBA player in quite some time, because he like freaked out eating an edible. He was really like, he was too out of shape at the beginning of his job. He was like sent home for just being kind of like passive aggressive about his boss. Like, all of those things are like, this could happen to me in a workplace for sure.
Um, I'm going to give you a fact and then ask you a question here, Nick.
Please.
All right. Alex Caruso skipped his sister's wedding to be in the NBA bubble. How does that make you feel?
Boy, I saw, you know, he grammed a shot from the wedding, and I think there were like 100 people in attendance. It was like a big gathering. It was like almost like it seemed like they should not have had a wedding that large at this time. So I guess I don't know. I mean, that's a tough decision to make, but I think it's the only move you could make. Like, you can't go expose yourself, especially in that setting. Alex Caruso at his sister's wedding is going to be the most famous person in attendance. Everyone's going to want a selfie with him. Everyone's going to want to talk with him. He's going to be in contact with 100 people. And I think, I could see just not, I think he made the right move by not risking that. I also think maybe they shouldn't have had that wedding. Like, that's
100-person indoor wedding?
Yeah, that's wild.
All right. And it seems like there were a lot of people not wearing masks. I assume the bride probably wasn't.
Yeah.
If you're having that wedding. Saw. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that decision to begin with, of the family's decision, but Caruso not attending, I think, was obviously the smart move.
And then finally, my last Lakers question I want to ask you is, as a food podcaster, how did you feel about LeBron's embrace of Taco Tuesday and his attempts to trademark the phrase?
Right. So, I mean, I have no choice but to defend it. No, obviously Taco Tuesday predates LeBron, is not his domain. I think, like, yeah, trademarking it was the wrong move. But here's the thing. It was just hubristic because he already has a pizza company.
Right.
Why are you going after tacos? Leave tacos alone. Tacos are for everyone. You got your own pizza brand. Don't try to make Taco Tuesday your own thing.
How do you feel about how shitty those tacos always look, even though he lives in Los Angeles now? Because that's what bothers me the most.
I think there's a different thing. The shitty home taco is a different thing and scratches a different itch than the great taco you're going to get from a taqueria. Like, you know, your lengua taco on those fresh corn tortillas with some, you know, fresh salsa verde, like that you'll get from a truck and will be like a transcendent bite of food. That's a different experience from the shitty taco your dad is going to make with, you know, store-bought 80-20 ground beef and a package of Lowry seasoning mix and in some, you know, in some stale hard shells. But that also appeals to you for a different reason. So there are better tacos, but also there are better tacos than Taco Bell has. And I still go to Taco Bell. You know what I mean? I understand the decision.
All right. Nick, thank you for answering our Taco Tuesday questions. And now it's time to get to what we brought you here. The NBA bubble has decided that the players can only order from 6 restaurants to order off campus. Sean, do you want to run us through these 6 restaurants?
Yeah, so these are the ones that can do official delivery service. They all are coincidentally properties from the Landry's food empire.
I wonder why that is.
It's Morton's, Palm, Saltgrass, Del Frisco's, The Ocean Air, and Joe's Crab Shack.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 of those are steakhouses, and The Ocean Air has a lot of steak on the menu as well.
They're owned by my nemesis, Tillman Fertitta. Nemesis of the podcast, Rockets owner.
Joey, explain what your original, why did he originally become your enemy?
Because I worked at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company for 8 years, and in my final year working there, he bought it, and then the first thing he did was start charging every employee $5 a month to have an employee discount.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So Wait, you could opt to, like, you could, this was an opt-in thing, or, yes, or was automatically
could,
deducted?
You could opt in, but nobody opted out. But right. Yeah, it was a 50% employee discount when you were working. I forget. I think it was less if you just went in. But
did you get a shift meal?
No.
That seems insane.
Yeah. No, it was insane. But so it was also like we're taking away something that you already had because I bought it. The right. other thing he tried to sell us was like, he tried to make everyone start selling something called Landry's cards at every table, which was like, I forget exactly how much it was, but it was like they had to buy it. It was like they got 20% off their meal, but it cost them $20, and it like gave them Landry's points. So if you also like ate at like the Rainforest Cafe, you got more points, which would then lead to more free food. And it was like, do I work at like Target now, or am I a waiter? You know,
right?
Look, I don't want to spoil anything, but the Landry's card is prominently featured on the website for Joe's Crab Shack.
Well,
so
I have some still Joe's pushing. Crab Shack stories. We'll get to Joe's Crab Shack.
Wait, so you worked at Bubba Gump? Did you also work at the Crab Shack?
No. But
okay,
when we get to Crab Shack, I have some Crab Shack Bubba Gump related stories because they were three doors down from each other.
Yeah,
wow.
On Pier 39 in San Francisco,
he has a lot of wharf related businesses, which is always the sign of.
That's what I was. I was looking at the Landry's portfolio, and I was surprised by how many holdings they have, and how many I just never heard of.
Right, like I hadn't heard of. Well, I mean, that's the first question I have for you. Actually, is Nick, which of these places have you eaten at?
So I've been to Morton's, Palm, and Joe's, and then the Saltgrass I'd heard of, but I'd never been to. And what's the last one?
There's the Ocean Air and also Del Frisco's.
Del Frisco's I've heard of, and the Ocean Air I'd never heard of.
Del Frisco's is my favorite kind of chain restaurant, which has like a subtitle too. It's actually technically called Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse.
Right.
Which that's just three words that don't mean anything when put together. So of the three places you've eaten, what NBA player is the best match for each three, you think?
Wow, great question. So, I mean, I think the thing you have to, the overriding thing with, I think, Landry's properties is that they are overpriced and it's not great quality food, but it is presented in this shiny package and then they charge a gigantic markup for it. Morton's, I feel like I've been to, you know, a dozen better steakhouses, but Morton's is fine. Morton's is also one of the more expensive, maybe the most expensive chain restaurant I've ever eaten at.
I have a Morton's question for you.
Yes.
Which of the chain steakhouses, the two big ones, Ruth's Chris and Morton's, which one is the higher end? Because I'm always confused.
Oh,
I think Morton's is more of a white tablecloth presentation. Morton's is trying to be a little bit snazzier, but I think Ruth's Chris actually has a better product.
Yeah.
But they're both like, you know, junior prom, like, you know, tier steakhouses. They're going for, this is an event dining. This is dad's birthday.
Put on your best Tommy Bahama. We're going to Morton's.
Right.
That's exactly what my dad would wear.
Wow. So I guess, I mean, for me, you know, it's good. It costs a lot. I feel like Morton's is like a LaMarcus Aldridge.
Ooh.
You know?
I like that. And, yeah, yeah. It's like, in theory, might be in the Hall of Fame, but then you eat it, and it's like, oh, this is kind of boring.
Yeah, this, I mean, this will get the job done, but it's not going to blow anyone's mind. And then, you know, it's pivoting to Palm. I mean, it's kind of lateral. There is a Palm, I believe, next to Staples Center, unless that's a different Palm. Unless that's a different, like, if that's the Palm is distinct from Palm. But they are the same. They're one and the same, yes?
I believe so. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, the original one's in New York, and it's old. And then I'm not sure when it became a chain. But right.
Yeah, no, this is a Landry's Palm. Yeah, one in Staples. So,
okay. They also on the website talk about how they kind of like vary wildly from Palm to Palm based on who the GM is. But I don't really understand how that works for a chain restaurant. like, I guess they have a lot of latitude.
Look, as right. long as you're giving Tillman the vig, you can do whatever you want at these places.
My guess is that it's not really all that much. I think a lot of them are not really that much like the original restaurant and probably are similar to each other besides that. That's my guess. But
so anyway. Varies wildly from location to location and has a history in New York. My mind instantly goes to Carmelo Anthony.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. Carmelo is for sure a steakhouse, too.
Yeah.
yeah. And it feels like this is a place where a lot of people are maybe wearing ill-advised hats that they're very proud of.
Right. But I think that these are, and then the, you know, the third one, what am I forgetting? What
Joe's Crab Shack.
Joe's Crab Shack. I mean, Joe's Crab Shack is just, I mean, that's like Mason Plumlee.
Why? Because he's sunburnt constantly?
Yeah. It's like he's near the water, but it doesn't really seem like he should be there, you know? Like, it's not good for him.
Right.
So, Sean, you have pulled up all of the restaurant, all of the menus for these restaurants, and the little blurbs written about their histories, I guess.
Yeah, well, these are just their official slogans.
Yeah, so let's go through these one by one with Nick here. So okay. We've been to Morton's. Let's start it. Read us the Morton's blurb, Sean.
Okay. One of the first restaurants to open on famed Restaurant Row on Dr. Phillips Boulevard. This is specifically the Orlando location. Morton's the Steakhouse. It's Morton's the Steakhouse.
Yeah. First off, I have a question about Dr. Phillips Boulevard in Orlando. That is 100% a plastic surgeon, correct? It's gotta be.
I'm curious. There's also a high school there. The Dr. Phillips suburb. What is the... He is a businessman and philanthropist.
Uh-huh.
His name is, however, Philip Phillips.
Wow.
He is a doctor, but mainly he just owned... He's like Dr. Buss.
Okay.
He owned... All right. He owned like a ton of
Orlando swampland and then sold it to all these people. Yeah. Got it. All right. Keep running. Yeah. All right. Keep running us through Morton's .. the Steakhouse.
Okay. Morton's the Steakhouse in Orlando is a time-tested tradition in local culinary fare. The upscale steakhouse offers power hour 7 days a week in its bar 1221 from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. to close with special pricing on select beverages and $6 bar bites. Every detail from the succulent steaks and seafood and vast wine selections to the seamless service makes Morton's the classic dining experience. Yeah, it's an ultimate
power hour where you drink a shot of beer every minute for 60 minutes.
That's correct. And that's why that's where you and your bros go for a nice 21st birthday celebration.
But there's also the element of like the power lunch, which is like a business thing. Like you're going to Morton's, you're like a high powered business type. You're someone, you know, you've got a you're meeting with the other regional managers of Dick's Sporting Goods. And you're going to talk shop. Like that's like I feel like power hour is meant to evoke that. It's like happy hour, but this is for getting shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It everything about it is describing a happy hour, but at Morton's, you're making moves.
All right.
And I just want to mention a couple things on each of these menus that just stood out to me. Just mainly these are really unappealing names for foods.
Mm-hmm.
The jumbo lump crab cake with mm-hmm. a mustard mayonnaise aioli. I mean, it's probably good, but it is also, it is called jumbo lump.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing that sticks out there to me is the words mustard, mayonnaise, and aioli. Mayonnaise like, and aioli are the same thing.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
It's like saying you're serving something with ranch and dressing.
Yeah, yeah. With our famous ranch dressing dressing.
Right. But I will say I've encountered the jumbo lump verbiage elsewhere. It is a little weird, but it's one of those things that just kind of wiggled its way onto menus. I guess it's probably focus tested and people respond more to they respond to jumbo lump for whatever reason.
Yeah, the idea is you're getting more bigger pieces of crab meat when they say that.
I'm kind of wondering if it's also like there's something like using hard consonants when you're writing jokes is supposed to be good. Maybe there's about like jumbo lump, like those are all good things for power hours, I guess.
I've talked about this, but at some point in chain restaurants and fast food, they switch from melted cheese past tense to either melting or melty.
Melty cheese. Is the worst. It makes me upset so bad when I see it.
Yeah, not a thing you would ever say, but they started saying it, and I guess because melted, probably they tested it, and people were like, "Oh, that sounds old."
Uh-huh.
Or and so, but melty is so awkward, and I like it. I don't like what it evokes. Melting is okay. Either way, it's just these are unnatural things to say that they've realized that it tests better for whatever reason.
Melty, yeah, I also feel like they always add like ooey gooey before it,
right?
Oh. Yeah, that's very childish, and I don't like to feel like my food is still in a state of flux. You know what I mean? Like, finish that, and then bring it out. You know what I mean? And I feel like you would be disappointed, but of their sides, Nick, 30% of them are fries of different varieties, so that's not great. I mean, it's a classic steakhouse. Why wouldn't you have four different kinds of french fries?
I that is a thing where I feel like when they do that, and that's a very, you know, Morton's is one of those places where the steaks all come a la carte, and then you order if memory serves, and then you order the sides for the table.
Yeah,
which I never love that way of doing that old school steakhouse way of doing things. I guess it just probably lets them you know sell more sides. But I feel like every time they do that, it's overkill. And like to what you were saying, like four types of fries, it's like, just give me your best fry. Don't make me decide whether the shoestring or the steak fry or the haystack or the curly is going to be the right way to go. Just give me the one that you think is the best. Exactly. Yeah.
Pairing. Also, Morton's is absolutely one of those places where they show you all the sides wrapped in like plasticine.
Right.
Yeah, and I guess that feels like it just is from like a different era that I don't even recognize at that point.
Where
you know what? You don't really need a picture, like a scale model of a baked potato that you're showing mm-hmm. me. Like
I know what a baked potato looks like. Yeah. go ahead, Sean.
So the palm. Let's go. You want to move on to the palm?
Yeah, let's move on to the palm.
Okay. Located in the Hard Rock Hotel at the heart of the Universal Orlando theme park, the Palm Orlando balances the energized atmosphere of a CNBC location. Note this CNBC location is a Hard Rock Hotel inside an amusement park.
So yeah, you're going to get seen by Gene Simmons, possibly. Yeah.
with an intimate.
I had a friend who worked at the Planet Hollywood. Who worked at the Planet Hollywood in Times Square. Is a waiter there, and he said that that people would come in, and the question that would always come up was, "Are there any celebrities here tonight?" Like tourists would think that celebrities would want to go hang out at the Times Square Planet Hollywood, like that was just a cool hang.
Go ahead.
Unlike Planet Hollywood, a Hard Rock, there is you do have a chance of seeing, say, a real low level one of those guys. You know, like a D. There's Snyder, a if you will. A Mike Love.
Sebastian Bach at the bar kicking him back. Yeah, it could happen.
I actually saw D. Snyder one time outside of a Hard Rock on Pier 39 in San Francisco. And because I'm a huge asshole, I pointed at him and went, "Strangeland, bro, Strangeland," and then kept walking because I was late for my shift, which is a movie he directed in the mid-90s.
Wow.
Did you meet...
It was 9:30 in the morning, by the way.
Did you meet Paul Walker at Bubba Gump's?
I did meet Paul Walker at Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company, yes.
Well, see, the celebrities could be anywhere.
It's well, my other friend saw Jay Leno at the Bubba Gump in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there I mean, you go. Or I'm sorry, the Universal City Walk. The Universal City Walk, which is an even more like wild Bubba Gump for Jay Leno to go out of his way to dine at.
Yeah, he parked his Model T in Curious George, and he just went down for a bite to eat. Was Bob's Big Boy closed? Yeah. Is that what was he doing out there?
I've heard he doesn't touch his Tonight Show money except to eat at the Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Yeah, he parks it to park it Wolfman.
So they've got at the Palm. This seems like maybe a more dangerous place to order from because it's a restaurant inside a hotel in an amusement park. Like it seems like this place being on the list is already a terrible violation of the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what's confusing me as you're going through these is that I would have assumed all of the restaurants would have been ones that are on the properties of the hotels that they're staying at. Not that you're going out of your way to go somewhere else, even within Disney, and then bring food back. Like, that just seems weird to me.
You're getting food from a different amusement park. It feels crazy. Anyway, the Palm menu has some like really old man style things like the Gigi salad contains shrimp, green beans, tomato, onion, bacon, iceberg lettuce, roasted pepper, egg, and avocado. Plus you can add chicken, shrimp, and or salmon. Just like,
well, I'm going to tell you right now, like, that's actually a shrimp Louie with a different dressing on it. So I don't know what the fuck Gigi was up to.
Yeah,
because that salad has a name and it's a Louis.
They back in the day, someone named Louis crossed Tillman Fertitta at some point.
The two things that stick out for me between the Palm and Morton's is, first off, the Palm has an appetizer that is just thick cut applewood smoked bacon, like. That bacon is not an appetizer. Like, if you're eating a giant steak, you're like, yeah, let's start with the fucking bacon. Am I right, boys?
Well, also, it is maple glazed, but it is also served with steak sauce.
Yeah.
I have not eaten it, but I have eaten at the Palm, and they really push that bacon as an appetizer. It's like they're... They're pushing it like it's a Landry Select Club card or whatever. Like and I think it's probably just a high margin item. It's just like, it's just a slab of bacon that we slather some sauce on and tell people it's a delicacy and we charge $17 for.
Yeah.
And a table shares four strips of bacon and convinces themselves it's good.
Yeah. The other thing that sticks out here for me is they have two different types of veal on the menu here, which is very, I would say, out of date. Look, I eat meat, so I also eat veal because I know a lot of people don't like veal because it's like sad when you think about it. But I do have a question concerning veal here, which is, Sean, Nick, which NBA player is most heartlessly ordering veal?
Wow. Great question. I feel like that to me falls to like Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a foreign guy for sure. You're right. Yeah.
And it's not even thinking about it. It's just like, that's breakfast, you know, and then that's what he's used to.
Yeah. The other guy I could see ordering it just because of his weird prep school background is Duncan Robinson of the Miami.
Oh, like, yeah, Duncan
Robinson.
The
only guy who's been to, like, gone from, like, the Phillips Andover to the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, unfortunately, Henry Ellenson is no longer on a roster, but I feel like he also would like veal simply because he is a weird, like, a 1930s farm boy that just happens to live in the 2020s, where he's like, yeah, of course I eat veal. I've slaughtered veal.
And the other thing on this menu, they do serve Chilean sea bass, as we learned from Dave Schilling, Dwayne Wade's new favorite meal that LeBron ordered for him, even though before that he did not like seafood at all.
Yeah.
So
he didn't like fish. LeBron, he was late for dinner, and it was LeBron's wife, and Gabrielle Union. Dwayne Wade said, order for me, and LeBron ordered for him. Not his wife, LeBron.
That's great. I mean, that's just a bro being a bro.
Yeah, for sure.
I want my friend to do the same thing.
It's served with an eggplant caponata. I don't think Dwayne Wade would like that, though.
If he didn't like fish, he doesn't like eggplant caponata.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. All right, Sean, let's move on to the Saltgrass Steakhouse.
All right, Saltgrass Steakhouse recaptures the flavor of the open campfire. Steaks, chicken, and seafood char-grilled to perfection, complete with bread, soups, and desserts made from scratch daily. Come see us soon. That's not appealing to go to a restaurant and they're like, it's like we cooked it over a campfire. You're going to love it. And before I get into anything else, they call their delivery team the Bite Squad. I don't like it.
They have something on their menu called Range Rattlers, which is jumbo jalapenos, shrimp, jack cheese, cilantro, and ranch dressing. I assume those are just jalapeno poppers with shrimp in them, but a Range Rattler does not tell me what is in this food I'm about to eat.
Yeah, a bad name. I gotta say, the combo of shrimp and jack cheese inside a jalapeno, and I assume deep fried, to me just sounds putrid.
What if, like, you put some ranch on that bad boy, though?
Just warm garbage. I don't know. That maybe it works, but that combo I would steer clear of.
Mm-hmm. It is 930 calories.
They also have names for their steaks, which I never like. So your options for steaks are the Wagon Boss Center Cut Top Sirloin.
Which
is like, I just can't tell if, like, when you hear Wagon Boss, it's like, I guess he's in charge, but also, isn't he just the top of the wagon? Like it sounds like that's like the king's cut, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think the wagon's cut is like the butler of the Old West.
Yeah, like, you know, the wagon boss works for the person he's driving across the country.
Yeah, like a child outranks him, essentially.
Wagon Boss sounds like a show that's been the top rated show on cable for 8 years and we just don't know about it.
All right, we also have Maude.
And the guy's politics are very questionable. Just the Wagon Boss has just, like, he's had to delete his Twitter account like 4 times already.
We also have Maude Dean's Center Cut Filet.
That, I hate that name. I thought it was a typo for Maureen, but no, it is Modine's.
Modine. I don't know. I've never heard that name before.
The sound of it's like the person Chuck Berry wrote a B-side about. Pat's ribeye, not just any ribeye, it's Pat's ribeye. Then also a bone-in ribeye, which does not have a name.
They just didn't commit then.
Yeah, the Texas T-bone and a Silver Star porterhouse.
It's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna go with this is like like, you know, I feel like you're going that deli feel, and the deli feel doesn't make sense for a steakhouse, but sure, whatever. If you're going to have like, we're going to assign this to a person, then just go with that all the way. Don't give me half and half. Don't throw Silver Star in there. What do I think that is?
Yeah. Like, make the porterhouse Gold Star then, you know, if you're
right. Go with all stars.
Yeah. Sean, what else sticks out to you about Saltgrass Steakhouse?
Well, they have some like normal steak additions. Like I know what Oscar style is for a steak.
Mm-hmm. That's a
it's like hollandaise sauce.
Yeah,
but then again, one of them just says smother your steak, which I mean, right, it's fine. Also, they have one item is called chicken, which. I also understand what that is.
What
but
was
at the
that?
Same
Say that
time,
again. You.
Oh, sorry. Chicken fried chicken.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
That's
a classic. That's actually classic bullshit chain restaurant lingo. Yeah,
right.
Bubba Gump Shrimp also had chicken fried chicken.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that feel like they were from like barbecue type. It just seems like it is not. It's weirdly trying to straddle steakhouse and barbecue place.
Right, it's right. Texas Roadhouse, but with a Tillman spin, and that Tillman spin is 25% more expensive.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's a great observation, because it is, to me now that you're saying that, it is reminding me, I don't know if you guys have been to Wood Ranch. I'm actually fan of Wood Ranch.
I have been to Wood Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, so Wood Ranch is like a barbecue chain restaurant, but they do have steaks just to like, you know, if you want something that's at a higher price point. But this place feels like, yeah, it's trying to exist in both those worlds. But yeah, it's just pretty overpriced. The one thing I brought up their menu while you guys were talking, just to look at my own, because I'd never been to this place. And this is the thing that stood out to me is they have a designated lighter dining section.
Uh-huh.
And on the lighter dining menu is country fried steak.
One of their sides also says, I mean, I understand that it's the one item that costs more, but it's the phrasing upgrade to asparagus was amazing.
All right, okay. Sean, let's do Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse.
Del Frisco's is rooted in a rich American tradition, the steakhouse. We stay true to time-honored
unlike these
principles.
Other restaurants
yeah.
that are available to order.
The time-honored principles are chef-driven cuisine, impeccable wines, and exceptional hospitality to give you an experience like no others. Those didn't seem like great principles, but
I mean,
this seems. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing I'm going to tell you right now, the thing that sticks out right away for me is you can order a $51 seafood tower at Del
yes.
Frisco's.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys ever done that?
Ordered a tower? No.
Yeah, I've never done that. I've always been intrigued by it, but I'm also like, I feel like that's going to make me so sick, having that much raw seafood to start the meal off.
And it's like, do you want like six different kinds of raw seafood too?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like lobster,
like the shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me like the shrimp cocktail or you know a half dozen oysters, and that's I'm gonna about tap out at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't need all this stuff.
Getting to the Bloody Mary clam shooters on this one is
God.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Another thing that sticks out here for Del Frisco's, they one of their appetizers is bacon au poivre with a bourbon molasses glaze. So.
So they're also doing the bacon hustle.
Yeah.
And this is $17 bacon for the table.
Jesus Christ.
Me seems the highest end of the steakhouses we've seen so far. Right, Sean? Wouldn't you say that's fair?
Oh, absolutely. There's like
it's there Double Eagle,
that cost
so.
Like $76. And yeah, filet medallions.
You can get a Double Eagle tasting menu, which is you get you a New York strip, a filet mignon, jumbo shrimp, a petite lobster tail, scallop, and salmon.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, that's choice of three. You pick three of those is $66. So, you know, if you want to try both the New York strip and the filet mignon and lobster, get ready.
They also have a cauliflower steak that's $30.
Man.
And, I mean, they, the most expensive steak is $111. It is a long bone ribeye and it's 32 ounces.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably for sharing, but that's still it's still an expensive cut of meat. This is one of those places that would not exist or would not be in business if you couldn't, like, you know, write off business lunches and business dinners. I mean, this is entirely a place for deal making, and that's why everything is so ridiculously overpriced.
Deal making or your high class hooker while you're on a business trip, you'd also take them here. And Sean, actually, that is not the most expensive thing on the menu. The most expensive thing on the menu, you can actually get Japanese A5 Wagyu steak, which is $71 per 3 ounces.
Oh, I misread that. Yeah, okay, so yeah, that's,
you know, if you're getting 16 ounces, that's gonna be. So my question, which NBA player is ordering Wagyu?
I mean, that's just like you've got money to burn.
Yeah.
You know, you're not worried about anything.
I hate to say Melo again, but that feels like some real Melo shit. James Harden, I would think about it, but he doesn't actually care enough about food.
You know, I could actually see CJ McCollum ordering it, and then it's like 6 Instagram posts.
Oh, yeah. He orders it to brag about. You're 100% right. That's the answer. The NBA's young Sheldon himself, CJ McCollum.
Nouveau riche.
He's ordering the Wagyu, and he's pairing it with his own Pinot Noir that he brought in, paid the corkage fee, so that he can have it with his dinner.
But he only wants it so he can also take pictures of him reading a Malcolm Gladwell book while eating it. nothing like Wagyu steak in Outliers for your night in.
Have you guys, I mean, like, you guys, I assume, have seen CJ McCollum's vintage, his
I have, yeah.
his Portland. I'm so curious. I'd like to try it. I'd like to, like, I it's like $50 a bottle, which is like, you know, LeBron weeknight bottle for one price, but it is like it's intriguing. Like, I'd like to try it, and I'd just like to see what it's like.
You know what, Nick? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend $50 of our Patreon money and have you back. And you, I don't drink, but you and Sean can drink. Once we can figure out a way to safely share a bottle of wine between the two of you.
I'm in. Yeah, it stacks up versus Dave Matthews Dreaming Tree Vineyard.
All right. Sean, anything else you stick out to you about Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse?
No, it's over the top, but it's absolutely an expensive count restaurant.
This is like straight up. I'm surprised there's not one of these in the Grove.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think there is one in some awful mall in LA, but I don't know which one it is. Maybe
it's probably the Century City one, right?
It might be the Century City one. There's a bunch of high-end chain restaurants there. The Wagyu thing to me is staggering to me because it's just like, if you're going to get Wagyu, like, if you're going to go to that, you're going to, like, have that once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, don't go to a fucking chain restaurant.
Right.
Like, go to a place, go to, like, a Japanese steakhouse or, like, you know, that's a thing you try on your you know, trip to Japan if you ever go. I just can't imagine getting it from Del Frisco's, forking over $350.
It's absolutely in the Century City Mall.
Yeah, I knew
there you go.
I'm so good at guessing where things are.
The Westfield Century City, and that's the only one in LA. So this one's like less interesting to me. The ocean air provides the perfect setting to enjoy the freshest seafood flown in daily from around the world. Our knowledgeable staff will delight you with exceptional service, guiding you through the wide variety of items on our menu and helping you select the perfect wine to complement your meal. So, LeBron, they will help you with your wine choices.
Sean, I have news for you, though, about BiteSquad.com.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually Tillman Frutita's app. Because the Ocean Air also runs through Bite Squad when you hit on their to-go menu.
Okay,
it's very Tillman Fertitta to be like, what about Bite Squad as a name? It's a squad. Yeah. We bring you bites.
Bite Squad. Ugh, that's awful.
I would say this doesn't... This is like a chart house, basically.
This feels like a suburban restaurant, too. Like it's very basic. They've got shrimp and grits. It's like...
There's one
burger on the menu.
This is your classic wharf restaurant, actually. It's nice like fish, nice quote-unquote fish. I'm sure they brag about how the fish is fresh, but it's probably not, you know?
Yeah.
I will say something that sticks out to me is they actually have escargot on the menu.
That is weird.
Which is very strange for a chain restaurant, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel like that one might be one of those things that it's more present on the menu as a signal to everyone that this is like upscale dining.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
We have that fancy French dish you're not actually going to order, but this cues you to know you're getting your money's worth. Fertitta also owns, Landry's also owns McCormick and Schmick's, right?
Yes, they do.
So he's got
a lot of
seafood in his portfolio. It's like mostly steakhouses and seafood restaurants, and then a handful of like gimmick restaurants.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rainforest Cafe, Bubba Gump Shrimps.
Right.
He's also from. I'm not saying he is mobbed up, but he comes from a really
mobbed up
family.
He's mobbed up allegedly.
So yeah, there are a lot of like wharf businesses, and the reason you have to have steak at every restaurant is you never know when a local
one-eyed
capo
Tony's
going to
come in. Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe you can get escargot to go, though.
I will say, I'm looking at the menu. To me, the best way to judge one of these restaurants, I'm not an expert like you, Nick, but is looking at their the appetizers are where it's at, where you can really judge what a restaurant is trying to be. Based on the quote-unquote appetizers and starters. And what I will say is, if you remember right, Morton's had a mustard mayonnaise aioli with their crab cakes. But the Ocean Air, their Chesapeake Bay style crab cakes, comes with creamy mustard mayonnaise.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So that's
really
better, right?
Yeah. This is the working man's crab cake.
Yeah, exactly. Also, no lumps. There's no lumps in this crab cake. But it's from, its hometown, Chesapeake Bay. And then finally, Sean, let's talk about it. Let's get to Joe's Crab Shack.
The Crab Shack?
Yeah. What stuck out about the Crab Shack for you, Sean?
Well, for one, this is the first menu that has a lot of photos, which are surprisingly not as glamorous as you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
I refer you to the picture of the Joe's Classic Sampler.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'm just used to the more touched up and you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Like the glamour food shots.
Yes. Yeah.
There's
no sweat on
this food.
Most of
the food does not look very good. Yeah. And especially the cocktails look aggressively gross.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The Corona Rita and the Shark Bite features what looks like a shark vomiting into the drink.
It does.
Jesus.
Hold on. Let me see if I can send Nick a picture of the Shark Bite right now.
You're saying about the appetizer as an indicator of what you can expect from a chain restaurant, definitely the case with the drink menu as well.
Yes.
Because if a place that has a Corona Rita, that is like dudes are getting rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like what they're going for. They're going for like more of a weekend warrior experience. Yeah. Okay. So I've got the menu up now. The link you said. Yeah. The shark bite. It's a blue goblet. with red liquid pouring out of a plastic shark's mouth, and the shark is hanging over the edge of the glass. I don't think that's appealing at all. I don't know. I guess. What is it even supposed to be? Is it supposed to be blood?
Blood. It's got to be blood, right? That's like the shark ate too much Alex Kittner and is throwing it up into the drink.
Anytime that there's a bar that features cocktails with like 3 to 4 different kinds of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you've got these names, the Shark Bite, the TKO Punch, mm-hmm. Category 5 Hurricane. People are going to the Crab Shack to get fucked up.
100%.
Mason Jar Bloody Mary, Exotic Mule. Like, there are so many ingredients in all of these cocktails, and I feel like it might give you adult onset diabetes mm-hmm. to have two.
And to be clear, people are also going to Del Frisco to get fucked up. It's just a different
level of
social class.
Up.
Yeah. Right.
So what I know, here's my thing about Joe's Crab Shack is I worked at the Bubba Gum Shrimp Company on Pier 39, and which was actually on Pier 39. It was like the crown jewel of Pier 39 because it had like the best view. And Joe's Crab Shack was like 2 blocks down, like outside of Fisherman's Wharf and Pier 39. And Joe's Crab Shack at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company was like a running joke about how it was Bubba Gump's but sucked. And managers would be like, when they were mad at you, would be like, if you're going to act like this way, we can fire you right now and you can go down and work at fucking Joe's Crab Shack.
Wow.
Now, the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company did have an item on the menu called boat trash,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the bucket of boat trash, dude. Yeah, for sure. But it's like a joke where this food is actual trash, Sean. But yeah, also because it wasn't on Pier 39, the servers would make way less money. So at the bar, every once in a while, we would run into Joe's Crab Shack workers, and it would be like, we'll buy you a beer.
Wow.
So I would just want to go, through a couple of these just section headings on the menu. Mm-hmm. Their appetizers are called Shack Snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Then their next... Their salad and soup section is called Chopped and Soup.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Surf and Sand Witches, Crab Buckets. Then they've got one that's called Who You Calling Shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
That's shrimp, which it's like, I think they're like, look, some pretty aggro people are going to be coming in here.
Right.
They're going to be drinking the shark bites. They're going to be yelling about this. There's also What a Catch. Sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
None of those inspire a lot of confidence.
You know my biggest problem with this menu? I'm going to tell you right now. They call their mozzarella sticks mozzarella bricks.
Yeah. Why do they do that? I guess they're bigger, they're flatter.
Arbitrary change. It makes it sound less appetizing. I bet they'd actually sell more if they changed it to sticks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Crab stuffed mushrooms sound gross. I'm looking at the menu now. They also, I mean, like, the great balls of fire, did we touch on?
We did not touch on that yet. Which sounds similar to, I forget which restaurant had the shrimp cream cheese item also.
Yes.
But this is crab... "Quote unquote crab cream cheese jalapenos seafood," which crab is a seafood.
Yeah,
it implies they don't know what they're putting in there.
It's referred to as scratch, which like try it. Don't just tell me that this is what you do with your excess stuff that you can't sell individually. You know what I mean?
No, the scratch made part means they're making it "quote unquote" from scratch.
Oh, I didn't catch the scratch. Okay, that makes sense.
But that's
the
also
the way it's phrased.
Lot.
It does. Yeah, it does sound like the filling is they're calling the filling scratch.
Yeah, the way
it's phrased. So I get the confusion. Just the cross pollination of menu items across the Fertitta properties is fascinating mm-hmm. to see how you'll just see upscale and downscale versions of these various menu items, and they're appearing on pretty much, I guess that speaks to, if you're an NBA player who's quarantined, you're basically just ordering from five different versions of the same restaurant. Yes,
that is what it seems like here, for sure. Yeah.
I will also say that, you know, there's a small but significant portion of the NBA that is vegan. Mm-hmm. They've got nothing. They're six with these places.
Yeah.
It's like you can just eat asparagus, basically.
Oh, even if you're vegetarian, even if you eat, you know, dairy, it's like, and eggs, there's not a lot here.
Yeah, like
basically everything has fish or it has fish or meat. It's just
and in some cases, you got maybe three veal options. Which is especially upsetting for you.
I honestly, the only thing that seems vegetarian here is like you can get corn, potatoes, white rice, and seasonal vegetables. That's it.
I bet the hush puppies are vegetarian. Just knowing about these restaurants.
Among the entrees, it looks like you can get pasta Alfredo mm-hmm. if you get that without a protein. That's probably
okay.
And that's what you want to load up on before you before playing an NBA basketball game. A bunch of pasta Alfredo.
It's like big creamy sauce.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
Wow.
This is, I would say the drink menu specifically reminds me of a comedy club in Sunnyvale called Rooster Tea Feathers,
mm-hmm.
where you look and it's like, well, God bless them, but they make some strong things. There's a bunch of different things. I would say that TKO Punch is very similar to Rooster Juice, which is a popular item at Rooster Tea Feathers.
All right, so we've gone through all the restaurants. Nick, give your advice to NBA players. In what order would you, the chain restaurant expert, order from these places?
Can we recap the properties real quick? Just
so there's Morton's, there's the Palm, there's Saltgrass Cowboy Steakhouse, Del Frisco's Double Eagle, the Ocean Air, and Joe's Crab Shack.
So I first thing I'll say is when I was doing some peripheral research on Tillman Fertitta in advance of this record, and I did find one article that I just want to share the headline of.
Mm-hmm.
This is about Tillman. This is from Forbes magazine. The world's richest restaurateur has a secret. It's not about the food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of your baseline.
We've read that article on this podcast previously. Oh, we are America's leading Tillman Fertitta podcast, weirdly.
Well, sorry to retread that ground.
No, but, not at all.
Yeah, that really informs, I think, what you can expect from his from the various Landry's restaurants. I would say that a big deciding factor for me is the team paying for it, or is it coming out of my pocket?
I think it's coming out of your pocket, but also you're an NBA player.
Right. So it's all relative.
Let's pick a mid-tier NBA player. You're like a you're on the mid-level. You're a you're a you're a Marcus Morris, let's say.
And you can write every penny of it off too.
Yeah.
Because right. you're on the road.
I think that I would probably, of the offerings, going through the menus, I would lean towards the what seems like the blandest offering, which is Ocean Air.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably the place that's most likely to just have something very straightforward that's not going to make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the steakhouses, the issue is that they have just everything's going to be so caloric and so heavy. And Joe's Crab Shack, I mean, it's just like to your point, it is just like kind of a shittier Bubba Gumps. It's mm-hmm. Bubba Gumps without the theming. I can't mm-hmm. imagine ever getting to go food from a Joe's Crab Shack. I think Ocean Air is maybe the one I'd go with.
I like it.
I think I like the Ocean Air the best too. because it just seems like it's less overwhelming and it's more like having a normal meal that is you know, everything else is like a graduation, a birthday party, like you hit it up before you go to a terrible strip club, you know?
Right.
Just, yeah.
All right. Which one would you least recommend to order from? Is it Crab Shack, Nick?
I mean, it might be Crab Shack, but to pick another one, I think I having been to both Morton's and the Palm, I think that I prefer Morton's to the Palm. And so I think the Palm would just be like, you know, it's just pricey. It's just super, super duper expensive. And the food's not particularly noteworthy. So I as a to-go experience, yeah, I think I'd probably rule that one out.
All right, and then finally, my last question for you. Actually, I'm going to have two more questions, but second to last question about restaurants. If you were going to defy quarantine and secretly order to-go food from any chain restaurant, which one would it be?
Rashawn Holmes style.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes style.
Got it. I'm straying from campus, or I'm paying someone to Postmates me something, and I know
I'm postmating. You're getting Postmates to go food from any Orlando area chain restaurant.
Okay.
Which one are you risking it all for?
If we're limited to the Orlando area, I might have to, you know, I'm a little unaware of everything that they've got there, but I assume there is probably a Houston's. There's probably a Hillstone somewhere in Orlando.
Also a Tillman Fertitta property. Very strange that those aren't on.
No.
Yeah, those are Tillman Fertitta properties. Yes, they are.
Mm. Boy, I have never that. This is the first I've heard of that, and I am a big Hillstone fan. I'll have to do some digging on this. But I'm not doubting you, but I'm just like I'm startled to learn this because Hillstone usually has a very high level of quality throughout. Mm-hmm. They have done some. Like that said, they have done some shitty things during quarantine, like, you know, forcing their workers back to work without masks in some areas. That is consistent with what I knew of Fertitta. So I guess it's possible. I would say that, but I do like Hillstone a lot. I do like Houston's a lot. I think that would be the one that I would say is worth the possible additional quarantine penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I also like Houston's, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take it over any of the restaurants we talked about today.
You know what? I lied. It's not Hillstone is not part of Landry's. I think he was trying to buy it. Maybe that's how I got confused. But you're correct. That's a good choice for sure. All right, and my final question, guys, is Tillman Fertitta a worse NBA owner or restaurateur?
I think NBA owner. His restaurants kind of are generally kind of shitty, but they certainly have a broad appeal to certain, you know, to certain people. So I think just as an owner, like the fact that he's being at all cheap is just absurd to me. Like, why own an NBA team if you're not gonna just spend to win? I don't understand it. I don't understand hamstringing your GM with all these financial restrictions. So I feel like he is low-key one of the worst owners in sports. I'm sure you guys have covered it on the podcast, but I think he gets forgotten because there's so many other like just shittier owners. Mm-hmm. But he's in the bottom tier.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
he's like not
of the good teams. I think he's the worst owner.
Yeah,
he's not as like outright evil as the DeVos family, but I think he might be the worst at being an NBA owner of anybody. Right. Like, there's worse teams, but for a team that was in such good shape, running many, many people out of town.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that seems like a really bad move.
You could see like the Robert Sarver arc, like, you know, taking over the Suns at kind of the peak of their powers and then just kind of slowly grinding that franchise into dust. I would not be surprised if the Rockets in 10 to 15 years look like, you know, the Phoenix Suns did over the past decade.
He's like anti-Ballmer. He's the yin to Ballmer's yang. well, thank you so much, Nick, for coming on. Once again, once we figure out how to socially distance CJ McCollum's wine, we'll have you back on.
I'm eager to try it.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
You know, check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants hosted by me and Mike Mitchell, and check out How Did This Get Played, where we play the worst and weirdest video games of all time, that is hosted by me, Heather Ann Campbell, and Matt Apodaca. New episodes of How Did This Get Played on Monday, new episodes of Doughboys on Tuesday. Thanks for having me, guys. This is such a treat.
Of course. Thanks, Nick. Oh, anytime you want to talk basketball, we'll have you on.
Yeah.
That's all the time.
Oh, great. Well, you let us know.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Sean, anything you want to plug?
You can see there's an episode of my kind of secret music podcast, Harem About Sex and Lord of the Rings. The newest episode features my co-host Richie Molyneux and his sister, Lizzie Molyneux, who is a writer and songwriter for Bob's Burgers on Fox. So check great. That out.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on July 20th, I tweeted, I just had to come on Twitter to say that I hate Twitter. Just very classic Frankie Muniz
classic
tweet.
Classic Frankie. He's got another one about going on the internet to say he hates the internet. Yeah. He didn't throw in as much profanity as normal, but it's more of a family act now.
And then again, if you want to play Apex Legends on Xbox Live, I'm at your boy Guy Fieri. That is URBOY Guy Fieri. I'm always looking for people to play Apex Legends with.
I mean, the NBA coming back kept us from turning into a full-time Apex Legends podcast.
Buy a t-shirt, subscribe to the Patreon. We got a lot of good stuff. There's a blog coming that I'm not going to tell you listeners about more, but in the future, we're going to have a straight up Round Ball Rock blog. Trust the Process.
Oh, I have a song.
I forgot. Sean, do you have a song?
I do. It's a Beatles song about Dwight Howard. It's called Anti-Vax Man.
Great. Trust the Process.
Trust the Process.
And shut it down. Let's all go to Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse, the greatest restaurant in the world. I was paid by Tillman Fertitta to say that.
We got Landry's gift cards.
Dwight's walking round with no mask on, while he's retweeting QAnon. He's anti-vax man. Yeah, he's anti-vax man. COVID vaccine he will avoid. He'll only inject a steroid. Anti-vax man. Yeah, he don't like facts, man. If there's a vaccine, he won't take part. If candy's on sale, it's in his car. If he infects AD, he just might start. If he's on the mic, he's going too far. Anti-vax man. Yeah, this dude is whack, man. Don't ask him how a virus spreads.
He's a dunce.
Or about teenage girls in his bed.
Like that only happened once.
He's anti-vax man. Stole his nickname from Shaq, man. So my advice for friends of Dwight,
anti-vax man,
make sure you keep your nose shut tight,
anti-vax man.
He's anti-vax man, still got a bad back, man. And we go one, we go all to the morgue.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.